Based on the fact God's preparing you to be used, based on the fact that you're a new person in Christ now, and this great change has happened, what are some things that you can expect to happen after you get saved? And we began last week by saying, number one, you can begin, you're going to begin to develop a new circle of friends. And we saw Paul do this. No longer was he hanging with the guys that wanted to go out and jail and persecute and kill Christians. Now all of a sudden, he's hanging with the disciples. And then the second thing we looked at last week was that after you get saved, you may go through some times of loneliness. Some times of loneliness. There's after you get saved, a lot of times it can be awkward because you don't fit in with the old crowd, but you really don't feel like you fully fit in with the Christian crowd either. And it can be very, very awkward. And you can go through some times of loneliness after you trust Christ as your Savior. And we talked about that last week at length. But now today, let's focus on this. Number three, what can we expect? Here's what you can expect after you get saved. Spiritual growth begins to take place. After Paul trusted Christ as his Savior, then we see spiritual growth begin to be evidenced in his life right here in Acts chapter 9. The Bible teaches that when a person is saved, okay, that the Holy Spirit comes into them and regenerates their spirit. In other words, God's life comes to live inside of you. When you get saved, and this is a little hard to understand, but when you're saved, and we talked about this when we studied Galatians 4, verse by verse, when you get saved, you are placed into the family of God with full-grown adult privileges. Okay? You are placed into the family of God as sons. And you have sonship privileges within the family. It's not a situation where after you get saved that you don't have access to God, or if you grow to a certain point, then God gives you all of the Holy Spirit, or He gives you all of Christ, you know, and then you're complete in Christ after you grow. No, when you get saved, God places you in His family as an adult son. Or daughter, okay, but on a practical level, when you get saved, do you begin as a fully grown, mature adult, or do you begin as a baby? A baby Christian. 1 Corinthians 3:1, he calls the Corinthians babes in Christ. They're in Christ, but they are babies in Christ. Now, what do we expect a baby to do, church? We expect a baby to grow. That's right. We expect that. We look for that. We want that. Well, after you're saved, a baby Christian should begin to grow. Go over to Ephesians chapter number 4, and I want to show you a passage here. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4 says, verse 15... let's go up to verse 14. Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more what? Children. See, Paul's wanting them to move on into adulthood. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, okay, look at this. No more children, but speaking the truth in love. And then here's the key phrase right here. May what? Grow up. See that? May grow up, notice, into Him, into Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Look at the next verse. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, notice this, maketh increase. That means to grow. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Growth begins to take place. Look with me over at, go over to 2 Peter chapter number 3. Turn over there real quickly. 2 Peter chapter 3. Notice here what Peter says as he is focused here on the believing remnant of Israel, and he's ministering to them. He says in verse 18, but grow in grace. Notice the command here. Say it with me. But grow in grace. And in the what? In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I am to grow in what? In grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is God's plan for me to grow? Absolutely. If you're not growing, that's not normal. It's not normal. Okay? If you're not growing, you need to ask yourself why. Why am I not growing? Why am I not growing? Salvation. Now think about this with me. When you get saved and you're delivered from hell and you're given a home in heaven, is salvation instantaneous? Yes or no? It's instantaneous the moment you trust Christ. Is growth instantaneous? The word growth itself infers a process, right? We have a tree in our front yard. And a few weeks ago, Denise and I were sitting out on the front porch and we were looking at that tree that we had planted how many years ago? You don't know? I don't know either. You always are so good at remembering all these things. She never looks at me and says, I don't know. Anyway, what happened was, is that whenever you cut down a tree, you know what they make you do? Plant another one. Yeah. So we got this permit to cut down this tree, which was all, you know, it was needed to be cut down. So we cut down that tree and they said, well, you can cut down the tree if you plant another tree. So we had to plant this tree. And they made us plant it right there in the front yard, you know. So we planted this tree in the front yard, and it was several years ago that we planted it. But you ought to see that thing now. It's just beautiful. I mean, it's just branching out. But you know what? That didn't happen overnight. Growth is a what? It's a process. That's right. Your salvation wasn't instantaneous. But growth is a process. I got to tell you something. One of the great joys of the ministry for me, being in the ministry, is to see people grow. It really is. It's exciting to me. Some of you are just very, very, very exciting to my heart because I see you growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go back to Acts 9. And what were some signs that Paul was growing in his faith, growing in his spiritual life? What were some signs that Paul was growing spiritually? There are several things here. And the first one that I see here is that Paul exhibited a desire to want to learn God's Word. And he had a hunger for the Word of God. Look at verse 22. It says, but Saul increased the more in strength. And then notice this. He confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Well, how did he prove it? He proved it through what? Not a trick question. How did he prove that this was Christ? The Word of God. That's right. In fact, I'm not going to have you turn there. But, go ahead and turn there. Keep your bookmark here and go to Acts 17. It's just a few pages. Go over to Acts 17 and I'll show you exactly how he proved that it was Christ. Look down at verse 2. Acts 17:2. He goes into Thessalonica here. Goes into the synagogue, and Paul, as his manner was, verse 2, this is his manner, this is what he did. He went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the what? Scriptures. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is what? Christ. So, how did Paul, there back in Acts 9, after he gets saved, how did he prove that it was Christ? Somebody tell me. Through the what? Through the Scriptures. Do you see that hunger for God's Word in his life? Man, I can just see old Paul. He's burning the midnight oil. Like my son does, Clint. And Mom's always getting on to him about staying up so late, getting up so early. And he's doing good things, though. You know, I mean, if your kid's going to be up late, you want him studying the Bible. Amen. Mama's still worried about him, but, you know, he's up late studying the Word, and that's good. Up early studying the Word. And, you know, that's how Paul was. Paul just hungered for the Word, man. He just thirsted for it. He was just hungry for it. And I can just see old Paul at night, man. He's flipping around in the Bible. He is looking at these things and studying out these things. And he wants to be equipped. So then what does he do? He goes in there to Damascus, see, and he confounds them. Those Jews that were unbelievers. He confounds them, proving that this is very Christ. You know, spiritual growth is not going to take place apart from the Bible. It's not going to. A lot of churches try to do it another way. Doesn't work. Okay? I've been in churches before where you get very little Bible. But yet, everybody appears to be growing for a while because they all conform to the little square they're supposed to fit in. And so through pressure and peer pressure and all this, they get people to conform to the little box they want them to fit in. But what I found out is true spiritual growth. You know, my home church that I was saved in and that I surrendered to preach in is no longer in existence. Not even there anymore. And the reason why it's not there is because they were not teaching and preaching God's Word. They were trying to get people to fit into this mold. They gave the impression that they were preaching and teaching God's Word. But have you ever been in a church where they'll read a half a verse from a scripture and then never go back to the Bible again? And just go off on tangents, you know, and rabbit tracks? And that's the kind of church it was. You know, and I had a person one time tell me in an independent Baptist church, they said, the preacher, he'll read his text at the beginning, but so then just watch around the church. After the preacher reads his text, everybody shuts their Bibles. I said, why? He says, because they know they won't need them anymore. They won't need them. Can I tell you something right now? You may be able to get people to conform and fit into a box, but you're not going to see people really grow spiritually in their relationship with God apart from the preaching and the teaching of that book. Yeah. Folks, hype will only get you so far. Okay? An emotional hype is only going to get you so far. It's not going to take you through the long haul and through the stretch run. It's not going to do it. You better have some substance. You better have an understanding of some doctrine from that book. A baby Christian needs food. Hey, does a regular baby need food if it's going to grow? Yeah. Well, you know what? The Bible is the Christian spiritual food, and it feeds our spirit. It gives us spiritual strength. That's what it does, see? And Brother Rob and I, we've talked about this a lot in the youth group and so forth. And not going to have a youth group that's just built on fun. Not that they don't have fun, not that they don't have a good time, but we're not going to build everything around that. You say, well, what are you going to build your youth group on? We're going to build it on the teaching of God's Word. You know? And my wife was in there, and she said, boy, Brother Rob, man, he just gets there and teaches the Bible to those teenagers. And man, that was exciting to me when I heard that. That's exciting, folks, because that's what's going to bring growth in people's life, is the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Hype isn't going to cut it. Just emotional demonstrations aren't going to cut it. It's going to take the steady study and the application of God's Word to our life. That is what's going to bring growth in our spiritual life. You've got to understand that. You've got to see that. Now, go over to Hebrews chapter 5, and let me show you a great passage here that kind of proves what I'm telling you. Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. Great passage here. Awesome. Look at this. Hebrews 5 and verse number 11. He says, Hebrews 5:11. He said, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that ye are, this is a dangerous place to be in, seeing ye are what? Dull of hearing. Can I tell you something right now? And I'm preaching to the choir because you're back on Sunday night, all right? But I can tell you this, one of the most dangerous places to be. And here's why I say this, because some of you could get to a point in your life where you're like this, okay? You can get to the point where you're dull of hearing, where you don't really have a hunger and a desire. You don't have an appetite for the Bible anymore. That's what he's saying. you don't have an appetite to take God's Word in anymore. You've lost your spiritual appetite. You're dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. And so what's the result? Look at the next verse. For the time you ought to be what, church? Teachers. Man, you ought to be telling other people. You have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You've forgotten the basics because you have lost your hunger for God's Word. And he said, and you are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a what? A babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use, they take the Bible and they apply it to their life. They have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Can I ask you something tonight? Do you want to feed on milk your whole life, or do you want to progress to strong meat? I'm just asking, okay? Do you always want to just suck a bottle your whole life? Do you just want to suck a bottle? You know, I mean, that's something you really need to think about. Do I just want to let Pastor Dan spoon feed me? Can't even say it. But do I just want to let Pastor Dan spoon feed me and stick a bottle basically in my mouth the rest of my life? Or do I want to become a self-feeding, mature Christian who is a full age, full maturity, and that can handle some strong meat? Some strong meat. Folks, listen. The Christian, the new Christian, the baby Christian, has to be rooted in the foundational knowledge of the doctrines of Christ and key doctrines that Paul gives us. Because if they don't, then they begin to shrivel up as opposed to growing. Pastor Larry, we do a thing called growth groups. And that's where you can go through a discipleship growth group. And it goes through some of these things. It's very, very important. Because listen, folks, the Bible is a key if you're gonna grow. Once you get saved, all right, spiritual growth begins to take place. And one of the evidences of that is you've got a desire, a hunger to want to learn God's Word. But then if you go back to Acts 9, the second thing I see here is a sign that we're growing spiritually is that Paul desired to want to tell others about Jesus. It says there in verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. You know, as soon as Paul gets saved, Paul wants to go tell other people about this Jesus that he met on the road to Damascus. Now, you know, new Christians typically want others to know about Jesus. They want to know about what he's done for them in their life. And it's very essential that you get to the point to where you can witness logically to somebody, okay, and take that book, reason with them out of the Scriptures, and show them who Christ is and what he's done for you. Now, does that sound reasonable? You've got to get to the point where you're comfortable with that. You know? I mean, here's the thing. You know, when you get saved, if you're like I was a teenager and I did not know any Bible. But I wanted people to know I was saved. I wanted people to know that Jesus was the answer. And I can remember listening to a song that we sing here in church. And it was a group that my sister-in-law sung in. And they sung a song, this quartet, called Jesus is the Answer for the World Today. Y'all know that song that we do in church? Jesus is the answer for the world today. You know that one, right? Well, I remember listening to that on that record, and it brought conviction to me. And I ended up getting saved. My brother led me to Christ. You heard me tell all that. But and then after I got saved, I remember I didn't really know how to witness. And so what I did is I told my friend about it, and he didn't get it. And so I said, well, come over to my house. And I had him over to my house, and I just got out that record and said, listen to this song. And I played the song for him. Now, that's cute. Okay? And you know, you've heard before that, you know, that witnessing, you can tell your story, you know, and so forth. And that's okay. That's for beginners. All right. But you really need to go past that. Okay. Because just telling your story isn't enough to convince somebody that they need to get saved. That's your subjective experience to them. That's all that is. Well, that's good for you, but I don't really need that. So you say, well, what do I need to be able to do? You need to be able to do more than just tell them your story. You need to be able to tell them what the Bible says. You need to be able to take that book, open it up, and prove to them, like Paul did, people, prove to them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that they need Him to be their Savior. And that if not, that, you know, like we said this morning, there is a day of judgment and wrath coming. And there is a time when God's going to judge sin. So we need to get to the point where we are able to do that. And one of the signs that you know you're growing up spiritually is right here. Paul gets saved, and then boom, after a while here, he's there in the synagogues and so forth, preaching Christ and proving to them who Jesus Christ is. You need to be able to take this Bible, and you need to be able to do that, see? And as you grow, you can do that. There's no reason why you can't. It's just a matter of studying and preparing and equipping. And by the way, our discipleship class, one of the lessons is on that, preparing you to witness. All right. One other thing here is that Paul, one of the signs that you know you're growing spiritually is that Paul desired to be with other Christians. I want you to look at verse 19. It says, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples. Notice that, which were at Damascus. Go down here to verse 26 and notice this. It says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, okay, so now he's left Damascus, he goes to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. Now, I want to just stop right there. Now notice that again. He essayed to join himself to the disciples. When Christ comes to live and dwell in a person, it's only natural for that person to want to be around other Christians. You know, it's interesting to me, Paul didn't have to have somebody beg him to go to church. Paul didn't have to have somebody drag him to church. The Bible says that he sought himself to be with these fellow disciples. And once he was with them, look down at verse 28. It says, and he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Paul was not only wanted to be with them, he was faithful once he was there. You know, I'm amazed, especially down south here where we live in Florida. Florida's not really south, but it is south. You know what I mean? It's not like Georgia, North Carolina. It's not like the Bible Belt, but Florida is still south. And it's amazing to me how through the years, it's really something that it baffles me a little bit. And I really don't know that I've ever fully figured it out. But it's amazing to me how that people will go through the whole membership process. And we're going to have a membership meeting next Sunday night, and that's great. But people will go through the whole membership process, and they'll come to the membership meeting, and they'll fill out the information, and they'll meet with one of the pastors, and then we'll present them during the presentation service when we do that, and we put their picture up. But what amazes me is through the years, the people who will go through that process join the church, and then I never see them again. The oddest thing to me. It really is odd. And I don't know that I've ever really figured that thing out. I guess in their mind, they put really big stock in being a member of a church. They've got to have their name on a roll somewhere. And so they've really put a lot of stock in having their name on a roll somewhere, but they just don't show up. Now, folks, I may not be overly bright, but that doesn't make much sense, does it? To want your name on a piece of paper, but then never show up to the meetings. I mean, that doesn't compute with me. I don't understand that. I guess it's that Southern thing of you got to have your name on the roll somewhere, you know. And I don't. It's not that we have a lot of people do that. It's just through the years I've seen that before, and it's kind of amazing to me. I just, you know, does it amaze you, Pastor? It amazes me. I mean, and you know,
I don't know. When you get saved and you trust Christ to save you and you become a child of God, you know, I just think there's something inside of you that knows that you really need to seek out a church and you need to go and you need to be fed God's Word and you need to grow. It's just something, I think that, you know, the grace of God teaches us some things, the Bible says. And we want to be around other Christians. I've had new Christians tell me before, I wish I could just live up there at that church. I feel so good when I'm there. They just can't get enough of it. And I'm going to warn you of something, though. New Christians, listen up. Christians aren't perfect. They'll hurt you. But can I tell you this? You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. But can I tell you this? You need them and they need you. You need them and they need you. God's plan is not for you to isolate yourself from other believers. You know, I believe, again, when you trust Christ, you should seek out a local church where you can learn God's Word, where you can be around other Christians. And we see this in Paul's life. So we see that spiritual growth begins to take place. He began to hunger for God's Word. He wanted to learn God's Word. He wanted to tell others about Jesus. He wanted to be with other Christians. But then, the last thing is this. After you get saved, what can you expect? Man, we said you can expect spiritual growth. You can expect to develop a new circle of friends. You may go through some times of loneliness. And then it's kind of like we had a positive point and then kind of a little bit of a negative one about the loneliness. Then we had a positive point, spiritual growth. Let me give you the last one that maybe isn't too positive, but you need to hear it, okay? And that is, after you get saved, the new Christian can expect problems. Problems. When Paul told others about Jesus in Damascus, many of the people did not appreciate his testimony. In fact, it wasn't long he began to receive death threats. Look at verse 23. It says, "And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to what, church? To kill him." And so he goes in there and confounds them and convinces them that, yes, Jesus is that very Christ. But some of the Jews took exception and wanted to kill him. Paul discovers their evil plot. And some fellow believers help him escape. Look at verse 24. "But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket." And so they get him out of town. He goes to Jerusalem, and guess what? He has more problems. Look at verse 26. "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple." Boy, that's a good welcoming committee at the church, huh? You go to the church for the first time. "Hi, I'm Dan Proctor. I don't think you're really a Christian." You know. And Brother Larry, we don't want to teach our welcome center to do things that way. Amen?
Just who do you think you are?
Verse 27. All of them are afraid of him. Verse 27. "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." And so Barnabas, remember last week we talked about being a Barnabas in somebody's life? And so Barnabas comes, puts his arm around him, and goes and kind of straightens this thing out. And so Paul begins to witness again for Jesus Christ. And again, people try to murder him. Look at verse 29. It says, "And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him." And so finally, the church at Jerusalem, I mean, he got kicked out of Tarsus. And now the folks, the brethren at Jerusalem, they say, "You know what, Paul? Maybe you ought to just go on back home to Tarsus." Verse 30. "And when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus." Just go on back to your hometown, buddy. Maybe they'll love you there, you know. But you know what's interesting to me, and here's my point. This is what I want you to get, a very practical point. As long as Paul was going around the countryside threatening, beating, jailing, and killing Christians, everything was fine. Now that he's a Christian and he's standing for Christ, he's got problems everywhere he turns. It's very common for new Christians to encounter trials and problems after they get saved. You say, why is that, Pastor Dan? I'm going to tell you exactly why. Go to Colossians 1. I'm going to show you. Okay? I think we're done in Acts 9. Let's go over to Colossians 1. I'm just going to show you a couple passages and we're done. Colossians 1. Here's why Christians encounter trials and problems a lot after they get saved. Colossians 1. And notice with me verse number, 13. The Bible, the who is Christ? The Father. The Father who hath delivered us. Notice this. God has delivered us from the power of what? Darkness. And, it gets better, He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. When you get saved, you change kingdoms. You go from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, who do you think might be a little bit upset over that? Yeah. Satan, who is our enemy, wants Paul's destruction after he gets saved. He wants him taken out of the way. Satan was not very happy about Paul's salvation, was he? The Bible, though, Paul warns us, and he says, you know what? It's not just me. He said, you need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And you need to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, once you get saved, you're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And now, of course, Satan's not happy about that. And so you can expect there's going to be this thing of trials and problems. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I think another reason why why Christians encounter problems after they get saved is because a lot of people aren't going to understand or appreciate your new life in Christ. Okay? Did everybody just love the fact that Paul got saved? No. And when you get saved, not everybody's going to appreciate it, rejoice in it, and be happy about it. And that's hard. It's a very difficult thing to get saved and have God radically change you and then have other people not rejoice with you, not think it's a good thing, not think it's positive, not be happy about it, but maybe even persecute you or make fun of you. Or call you stupid, or a Bible thumper, call you names. But that is a difficult thing to go through, but I'm warning you that it happens. It happened to Paul. And again, Paul's a pattern to those which should hereafter believe on him. Just as Paul went through some satanic warfare, and just as he went through people problems after he got saved, well, the same is true of us. I think it's very important that new Christians understand this so that they know what to expect. So they can be ready to meet the challenges that accompany their new life in Christ. Teenagers need to know this. Adults need to know this. We don't need to paint this rosy picture. You're saved and everything's going to be perfect now. You know, that's just not good. That's not healthy when we tell Christians or even insinuate that or give them that idea. Now that you're saved, everything's just going to be hunky-dory. We need to make sure they understand that as a new Christian, you can expect some problems. Because let's never forget, this world is not our home. We are pilgrims passing through. We don't belong to this kingdom on this earth. We belong and have been translated into a heavenly kingdom. So we need to remember that, don't we? We need to understand that. We need to remember that. Now, I believe that, you know, even though we encounter problems, boy, don't the blessings far outweigh the problems? I do have to say that. You know, I tell you, I've had more of a blast since I got saved than I ever did before I got saved. You know, and man, it's just awesome. It's great being with Christian friends and learning truths from God's Word and applying it to your life. And it's just, and then of course all the eternal blessings that we know that we have in Christ. I mean, just, you know, our cup runneth over. There's no doubt about that. The blessings outweigh the problems, but we need to understand that there will be problems when you get saved. Being saved doesn't mean the absence of problems. We need to understand that. We live in a... But you know what? There's a verse I love. Romans 8:18 says, "For the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." It's not worthy to be compared. You can't even compare it with the blessings that we have in Christ. So what can we expect after we get saved? We develop a new circle of friends, but we may go through initially some times of loneliness. And then we saw tonight spiritual growth begins to take place, but we can expect some problems as we're growing in Christ. So hopefully this message will be a help to you. What to expect after salvation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight.